Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
First of all, I want to say, what amazing men of God shared the word of God while we were gone. The what's important now. I mean, this all goes in with this. Yes, it's about priorities, you know, and sorting through what's important now. James, with identity, if we don't know who we are at this time, we're building our house on sandy ground. You know, and in knowing the sign of the times with Pastor Larry of the last of the last days, and even my own husband with the spirit, with the fruit of kindness. If there's anybody that can preach that, it's my husband. He's one of the kindest people that I know. And I'm so thankful that the reason that I went was he said, what do we need to do to get Cynthia a break, to send her away for 4 weeks? And I'm like, what? I mean, I thought that would be nice, but I never really wanted to do it. But I'm so thankful for the men of God that God has put in this church, you know, that our men are all important. Even though I'm a woman and I'm designated as the pastor, I cannot do it without the men and the women. But I just want to honor the men, especially in our church. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read. This is going to be kind of long. It's a whole chapter of Hebrews 4. So bear with me. This is the word of God. Now, God has offered to us the same promises of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful. We must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they had heard hadn't affected them deeply, for they doubted. Talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. And again, as stated before, they will never enter into my calming place of rest. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of faith. Rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into the faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into called today. Now, for it was long afterwards that God repeated it in David's words, if only today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. Now, if this promise of rest was fulfilled when Joshua brought the people into the land, God wouldn't have spoken later of another rest yet to come. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rest in them. So then we must give all our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short of following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing we can do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. So then we must cling in faith to all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent King, Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity. For as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way, just as we are, and conquered sin. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you that Jesus made the way. There is no shame. There is no guilt. There is no sin, God, that can keep us from your love. Father, I ask that every person today would sense and experience your love, the height, the depth, the breadth, that perfect love that casts out fear in this time where fear is rampant in our world. That we would have this supernatural peace, God. It would guard our heart and guard our mind. God, we surrender to you. We trust your love. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our body, that they'll know we're your disciples because we love you and we love one another with an unfeigned, unprejudiced, God, love. We accept each other in all of our brokenness and weaknesses, and we're not trying to hide them as we come in, God. Then nobody have it together, Jesus. Only you. There's none good but God. And we thank you that in your goodness, you captured our heart and you went after us. And we thank you, we receive from you today that your word penetrate deep in our heart, make our heart good ground. For your imperishable seed will produce fruit automatically in our life as we just let it sit there and abide and keep the weeds of bitterness and resentment and strife and division from getting in our heart. Even in this time where the political division is so rampant, God, they are not our enemies, oh God. We thank you. We pray for our enemies. We ask you to bless them, God. Father, I thank you. We will not let strife get in our heart because it will choke the word of God in our life. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. You're the only king in our life. No government, Father, of this earth is our answer. So we thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a wonderful gift God's given us to live and abide in rest. And I believe this is one of the key areas that's a battleground right now in the church. There's a war over this area. For you and for me to really experience the power of what rest can mean in our life, and the concept of rest is found all throughout the scriptures. So I want to bring out a couple key points here to help us understand how we begin to live in rest. And to recognize there's a tension here so we can break through in some areas. God has promised us to be able to experience rest. We saw it first in creation. Can you guys see this? I'm going to move this over so everybody can see the board here. In creation, on the seventh day, you know, Adam's first day on the earth was a day of rest. It's finished. He didn't have to earn. He didn't have to do anything. No, he just had God made all the world. He says, this is good. He made Adam and Eve. He said, okay, their first day was a day of rest. God even rested on a regular basis. Taking a day of rest is a helpful practice. It's even been studied that one of the best practices is to work 6 days and on the seventh day to take a break, to cease, to stop, just to receive, to rest. It's not something that should be legalistic or binding. It's a gift that God has given us. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift, an opportunity to say, it's okay to stop. For many people, it's a struggle to stop. There's a battle. Even on my Sabbath, it was like I was pretend resting, you know, I was still working, and you know, I didn't get on my pajamas or whatever. But the Sabbath means to cease. There are things that we can learn from taking a day and learning to stop, to bring everything to a calm and allow refreshment to enter into our lives. Most people are not living a life of refreshment because we don't take a day to take in and then the rest of the week live out of that which we've taken in. So we may stop, but we don't experience refreshment. Many zone out or numb out or just collapse. We may be taking a day of rest, but not living in the rhythm of rest. And this is, I'm preaching to myself here, y'all. This is what God is doing to me. This is hot off the press, okay? So hold me to this. I need accountability. I don't push back. It's a time to reflect, really. You know, even after we did this, you know, we remodeled and stuff, and it was like, the Sabbath is just time to reflect and think about, okay, God, what did you help me with this week? God, thank you. Thank you. We just want to go on to the next thing. Like after we got done with this, it's like, okay, now what else can we do? I mean, I was like in a buzz. I mean, there's a feeling you get when you accomplish something and you get addicted to that feeling. Just like you get addicted to likes on Facebook. You know, it releases a dopamine in your brain when people like your post. This, you get a feeling from producing something. And I'm not saying it's bad unless that's what you're looking to. And you get addicted to that feeling and you never stop and just reflect on what God has done and allowed us to do. Do you reflect on the things that God has done in and through you throughout the week? Do you look back at some of the great things God has helped you do? Stop and appreciate and thank Him often. Oftentimes we don't take in refreshment that's available because we don't reflect. Most of the time we just move on to the next thing. And I know, because I do it. Just as our life can be like a jar of river water, all stirred up, we don't stop and be still long enough to let all the sediment fall to the bottom. Success is knowing that the jar of river water is still finding time to sit still. So the waters of my soul are clear. They're clear enough to discern to the best of my ability what this moment calls for. And the next. And the next. And the next. Our jar, our life is always shook enough by our busyness. We never discern what God is saying. There's a rhythm of output and input. Receiving from God, receiving in stillness, receiving in stopping and ceasing. That when you're outputting what you have inputted. And if you don't allow the rhythm of rest to be a part of our lives, burnout is inevitable. And I was there. Like emotional, healthy, you know, spirituality, we talked about just taking time throughout the day just to go, even if you just go in the bathroom and you sit and you just center, God, I just receive your love. I'm not going to get up in the morning and just get caught up doing my thing. All we like sheep gone astray. Each of us has gone our own way. But we have to purpose, God, you are my king today. God, I receive your love. I surrender my will. Father, order my steps today. Sometimes we might even be praying as we're speeding along, asking God to help us with our agenda. In fact, every moment, every night, we have to stop. We have to sleep. That's the cycle of life. God has inserted moments, whether it's being still or taking time to meditate, being still and knowing He is God, to be quiet, to go to sleep at night and give the entire day and the next day over to Him. When you sleep, it's a signal, I can't do anything. I have to stop. I need this. God wants us to live in this rhythm. Gives your life an active surrender over to God. If we don't take those pauses, we won't experience the unforced rhythms of grace. It's really just being spiritually minded. The Bible says, Romans, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. We might be doing a whole lot of things, but in the eternal scope of things, is it wood, hay, and stubble? Will it burn up when we stand before God because it wasn't listening to his? Jesus said, I only do those things which I see the Father. That's why he went away often into the mountain alone to hear, to focus in, to surrender, to receive his love. He walked as a man on the earth, showing us how to do it and learning to live in the power of ceasing from our works. It doesn't really matter what day of the week it is. Just kind of like our tithe. It's God, I'm inviting you into my finances when you give to God. God, every day, when you take a day of the week where you say, God, today I'm just going to do what refreshes me in you. I'm going to take time to listen deeply to my family. I'm going to take time to listen deeply to you, Father, and reflect. So the first, he wants us to have a day a week. Then there's a place. It was a promised land. That's what the children of Israel, they were going through the wilderness, a three-day trip for 40 years. Now, Israel stepped out of bondage and they were in and moved toward the promised land. But we all know that they wandered and they carried a lot of slavery of Egypt still in them. They moved toward a place called the promised land. So what do we learn in this? In the book of Hebrews, it talks about a place of promise. Hebrews 3 and 4 gives us a deeper understanding that rest isn't a place. For many of us, when we talk about rest, we think about going to the beach or going to Florida, going to the cabin, you know, to a mountain or the woods. So we develop this fairy tale understanding of what rest is. So that brings us to the third aspect here is a lifestyle of rest. Matthew 11 says, are you tired, worn out? Burn out on religion, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. Huh. I'm telling you. I wasn't doing that. It's a lifestyle of rest. So this can be meaningless if it's not cultivated within. On the other hand, when you keep company with him, when we experience ourselves as the beloved of God, accepted and cherished by him in all of our beauty, in all of our brokenness, our hard, rough edges start to soften. I don't know about you, but I got some hard, rough edges. Anybody knows me very well? You know that. I can be like a bull in a china closet. We begin to see others as beloved as well. You will love others the way you love yourself and receive the love of God for yourself. And then when they look at you, you reflect back to them. When they look in your eyes, they can see that they are God's beloved. Not only does the love of God come to us in solitude, the love of God begins to pour through us to others. And this is a very different kind of productivity, and only God can bring it forth. Productivity can no longer be measured by number of things done. And I'm a doer. I like to get things done. Plenty of things still get done, but it's no longer the way I measure success. Success for me now is a balanced life. Measured in whether I'm living with the rhythms of work and rest, solitude and community, silence and words necessary. So the quality of my presence with God and with people and task is characterized by love, attention, wisdom, and discernment. It's a mouthful, isn't it? There's nothing that feels like the love. There's nothing that transforms like the presence of God. There's nothing else that produces what the silence of God produces within the human soul. I think Henry Nouwen said that solitude and silence is the furnace of transformation. How many of you know how hard it is just to take 2 minutes and try to quiet your mind? The kingdom of God is within us. If we don't tune in and know how to tune out all the voices. We won't hear his voice to do his will. Rest is a condition within. And we're living in a cycle of refreshment, yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit, where it's an optimal level. You're not drained. You're not exhausted. You're living in God's rhythm. I believe the parable of the 10 virgins, the ones of the lamps were filled, were living in the rest of God, ceasing from their own works. Like I said, Jesus said, I do only those things which I see the Father. When did he see the Father? When he was up alone in the mountain. There's a reliance and a confidence of who he is in you. And you're not trying to stir it up every day. But it's not passive. It's not sitting around doing nothing. In the battle of rest, we find ourselves in two ditches here. Which one do you find yourself in? Striving or passivity? The root of both of them are fear. One of the ditch of striving, fear, doubt pushes us into a place of striving. Striving says, if it's to be, it's completely up to me. You know, I can do that. I've been there, done that. I've got to make this happen. That's the striving. And it's very deceptive because many believers can say they're doing things for God, living with God, but really their lifestyle is of striving, endless toil. And really it's a fearful lie underneath which says, if there's to be any wealth, if there's to be any provision, I must come out and make it happen with my own hands. I think about the scripture in Deuteronomy. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. God went deeper in my layers of fear. You know, we all got layers. We're like an onion, you know. But I realized that as I was alone, you know, I was supposed to be 1 week at this Center for Spiritual Renewal, which is a week that they give Foursquare pastors just for free. It's a beautiful apartment and beautiful grounds, prayer walks, waterfalls, and I was there 3 weeks all by myself. I don't think I've been by myself for 3 weeks in my whole life, but I'm telling you, it was not pretty. It was hard. The first 3 weeks, I was going through detox. And there's a counselor there, you know, and he gave me a book to read called Adrenaline and Stress. And I realized, you know what, probably since I started having kids 37 years ago, I've been running on adrenaline. Had six children, homeschooled, helped in the church, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Until God put me in this position, which is like, oh, I thought I could handle it before, but this is like, oh. So I came to the end of myself, thank God. But thank God I went away and got quiet and solid and listened to what was going on in my heart because God touched a layer of fear in my heart. When I made a vow when I was 12 years old and my parents were separating, I made an inner vow that said, you can't trust those to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. I made an inner vow and God had dealt with me about that vow. But all my life, I kind of felt alone. That's why I was striving. Is it going to be done? I got to do it. He touched that even deeper as I was away, that I am not alone, that I cannot do it, and neither can you. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. But he really touched my orphan's heart that was crying, Abba. And the truth is, we all have an orphan's heart. But we don't want to look at it. It's painful. It's really painful. I mean, I was depressed. On the third day, I called Steve. Oh, it's only been 3 days. I don't think I can do this. Seriously. I was getting withdrawals from adrenaline, y'all. There was a buzz. And I got it when I produced something. It would add to that. When I got something done, something accomplished. No matter what it was. So the desperation and the hunger that we have when we first come to Christ, don't ever lose that. That is a key Otherwise, we've got to fill that void with other things. If we don't allow Jesus' love, that we are his beloved, to fill that, we will so-called rape our friends because we're looking for people to meet that. We're looking for our work to fill that, to make me feel like somebody. Making my accomplishments make me feel like I am worth something. The one who is striving doesn't know how to stop. In fact, it's the most torturous thing you can do for those living and striving to put them in a room to stop where there's nothing to stimulate our mind and just have to sit in silence. It was. But oh my gosh. Something, I don't know, it was like the 2-week mark. It's like, I was taking a walk and the song came on. We dance. Be slow. It's like, take the lead and I will follow. It's like it was a surrender. It was a submission to the will of God as he put his finger on that fear and showed me how much he loved me. And he loves you. But it's excruciating because we're used to living in the buzz of stressful activity. And we ramp up our mind to that buzz. Because if we let go of the buzz, we have to learn that there's a greater sense of trust and enter into rest. A greater sense of confidence of who my Father is in heaven and his ability to work in my life. So I also had to get still and face myself. Face my fears. Face my insecurity. Face my brokenness. And this is what many people can't seem to experience, why they can't seem to experience greater healing and transformation. They're just so busy. The writer of Hebrews says you have to cease from your own works. If you want to enter into rest, there's so many dead works that we're involved in, stuff that looks wonderful to people, but God is saying, I want you to enter into my rest and listen to me. Because the fruit that produces striving is more stress, irritability, anger. Our relationships don't have the vitality or the quality that they could have. No depth or vulnerability or authenticity. Our relationships suffer, especially those that we love the most. When we're striving, just got to get her done. I know there's been lots of times when I've come home and been in that buzz, you know, and here Steve and the kids weren't doing what I thought they should be doing. And whoa, what did I do to the relationship? What else really matters in this life? When we're on our deathbed, we're not going to be thinking about all the things that we got done. We're going to be thinking about the people that we love the most. So today, if you'll not harden your heart and listen to his voice. It's easy when you're striving to get discouraged too. It can flip on you and you go into depression. But the other side of the ditch is the ditch of passivity here. And it's all based in fear, striving or passivity. The striving, the answer is ceasing from our own works, and the passivity is to be diligent. Most people will find that there's certain areas of your life where you're heavy striving. Then I flip-flop back and forth. Like with exercise, I'm really passive. I know, it's like, oh, God, I used to exercise all the time. My job as a massage therapist was very physical, and all of a sudden, I've just been sitting. But there, we all have areas where we flip back and forth, you know. Most people will find that there's certain areas that they lean in one direction or the other, depending on your personality, depending on how God made you. You can lean heavy on one side or the other. But we know that fear will push you in either direction. It'll cause you to gear up into striving, or it'll cause you to avoid in passivity. Even with our stress response system, you know, fight or flight, fight, striving, flight, get out of here. But passivity is one of the modern plagues that's hitting our culture right now. Spiritual lethargy, inactivity. But it's not just about doing physically. It's a spiritual slumber that happens. So what it does, it disconnects us from the power and the confidence of what's available to us in the rest of God. The rest of God is not sitting on the couch doing nothing. The rest of God is very active when we're being empowered and refreshed. So we live out of the manifestation of God's spirit in your life. Passivity will lead you into a spiritual slumber, a spiritual coma that will rest over your life. And many people numb out and check out, living in a passive state. This plague can hit a lot of men, especially in the family, making them very spiritually and emotionally inactive at home. They might be striving at work, but then they come home and they're not available. They might be striving people at work. And then the women kick in with the striving to try to make up the balance. Because it's so hard, because men who could take action, but you don't, so over and over again, we see it creates a slumber and it causes pain in the life of our family. The Bible says to labor to enter into rest. That sounds conflicting. Like, wake up and take a nap. But what God is saying is watch out, because you could fall into a spiritual slumber. And when that thing hits, you'll justify it or you'll kick back when somebody tells you should be taking action, or maybe you're procrastinating. The fear of failure easily hits the passive area where you sit and you cycle through. You sit there and ponder over and over what you need to do. Instead, you just need to get up and take a step of faith. And striving, the fear of failure could be there too. Fear of not having enough, the fear of loss, the fear of I got to do it, the fear of facing myself, slowing down my RPMs long enough to face what's really going on inside. Hebrews 4 says, cease from your own work, slow down, let God begin to work in your life. Stop thinking the pressure is all on you. Take that yoke off your life and learn of me, Jesus said. And do an exchange, take his rest. Oh, when I took this sabbatical, I was frustrated, burnout, tired. I was irritated. I was impatient with people. And I thought, what was I giving people? My anxiety. That's such a dangerous thing for me in this position to do. I never want to do that to the sheep. God's precious blood was shed for you. I had to come face to face with some things. I had to take a good hard look at myself. Why I do what I do. And let God touch that fear. No, he is in control. I just will listen. Keep that river water from being all shook up. Let the sediment go to the bottom and just take the next step. And the next step. And the next. Maybe you've strived so much in your life, you don't know anything else. Maybe you've lived in a depressed, passive state so long. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to create the space. Take some time. Quiet your mind. It said Jesus, he called unto them whom he would that they should be with him. Just sit in the presence of the Lord. Just one scripture. Just meditate. Just read it over and slowly ask the Holy Spirit to unveil. One scripture can change your life when you get a revelation. Let God speak to your heart. It took me 2 weeks fighting through discomfort to get to a greater place, to hear his voice in simplicity. To hear his heart over my life. Do you hear his heart over your life today? Can you hear his heart? Not a vacation. Sabbatical is not a vacation. It's slowing down to nothing so I can begin to see myself and God in the silence, in the quiet. Face some of the areas of my life, my issues. To be still and know he's God. The modern day buzz, on a daily basis, we have to fight that. He said, do everything you can. Read this week, Hebrews 3 and 4. Just let that be your meditation. I believe this is one of the demonic, predominant strongholds over the modern culture, is busyness. constant busyness. But Father, we thank you today that Jesus died on the cross. He rose again, gave us his Holy Spirit to recreate, give us a new heart, a heart that longs to do your will, a orphan's heart that cries, Abba, Abba, we're desperate for you, Father. Father, make us more desperate. Make us more hungry. God, if we're not more desperate and hungry for you today than we were yesterday, we're probably backslid. God, we want to grow. We want to hunger. We want to do your will. We want to surrender. We want to enter into rest. That on that day that we stand before you, our works won't burn up. They'll be gold and silver because we listened to your prompting and we obeyed your voice. If there's anybody today here that's never said, Jesus, I give you my life. Or you've gone to church all of your life, but you never surrendered your heart. He's knocking on your heart today. He loves you. He has purpose and plan. He wants to come in and empower you to do his will. You, your life can be significant because of him. Just raise your hand if that's it. That's anybody here today. So just surrender their life and their heart. If you want to come up for prayer for anything, if you need help, or you feel like you're striving or you're passive and you want someone to pray with you, please, the altar will be open. Jesus is calling us.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.